This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
I'm Vinny Raj.
We're asking you about time and has your perception of time changed over 2020? More on that in just a couple of minutes after we've had our update from Bursa at break.
So it is up by 0.27% at 1,601 points. Active stocks include AT Systematization, Vivocom International Holdings and Zidlang Holdings Limited. The ringgit is at 4.08 against the US dollar. It is at 3.0 against the Aussie dollar and 3.05 against the Sing dollar.
Wait, did you say up 27%?
0.27%. That's a whole other thing.
A lot of people got very excited right then.
0.27.
Especially with Black Friday coming up. Mm. Anyway, we should probably move on. We are asking you that question. Has your perception of time changed during 2020? We have a poll running over on Twitter. And the numbers are, we've got around 150 votes. Mm-hmm. And so far, hovering around 40% for people who are saying, what year is it? Mm-hmm. With around 35% of people saying, yes, days feel shorter. 10% of you saying, yes, days feel longer. And 12% of you saying, no, it's not changed at all. Mm-hmm. Do we have any tweets you want to highlight?
We have one from Maisaya who says, hardly felt anything has been done for the year, career or personally. It's one MCO firefight after another.
Yes.
And Rebel to Save the Environment says, time is a creation of man to be used as reference. In the Stone Ages, there was no time.
Wow.
Well, I mean, there was time. They just called it something else, right?
They didn't have a watch.
They didn't have a word. I don't communication. I don't know.
Yeah.
No words. Anyways.
The sun, I guess.
The setting.
I love that we're getting existential about
this. Let's not
today.
Do this because this is an entirely different show.
Yeah.
Right, let's talk about age.
All right, yeah.
Just be careful where you go with this, Christine. Just be careful.
I was about to say.
Just get on with it.
Speaking of perceptions and, you know, perceptions of concepts and time and people, a recent study by the National Bureau of Economic Research showed that venture capitalists prefer backing CEOs in their mid-40s. But as more and more young people are creating startups and finding entrepreneurial success or, you know, elevating their side hustles during the pandemic, how, you know, do they overcome the age barrier and shatter the perception that you shouldn't invest in young leaders or young CEOs? Right? So this is based on an article that I found on Inc.com, and it's written by someone who identifies himself as a young, hungry, and talented CEO. Their words, not mine.
Oh, modest as well.
Indeed. Mm. And basically, they have three sort of tips to, you know, prevent people from kind of assuming something about you or not investing in you because you are young.
Mm.
So the first tip was to make the first connection over email or phone. When speaking to potential customers and investors, consider interacting initially via email or phone, which is probably easier to do now anyways. While in-person engagement is often ultimately essential and the goal is to not hide behind a device to conceal who you are, it is easier to gain the full attention of the person on the other end when they're not distracted by trying to decipher your age. With the right product, a strong story, market need, confidence, and enthusiasm, a winning impression can be made just as easily by email or phone as in person.
Mm.
Number two is let your product do the talking. So in the fake it till you make it Silicon Valley startup world brought on by the likes of Elizabeth Holmes and her company Theranos,
mm-hmm.
investors are leery of young unknown entrepreneurs and the claims they make about their products and services. However, with that being said, if you have a solid product that solves a specific problem and can be substantiated by business results, lean on that when liaising with investors and customers. Use case studies and customer examples to support your claims and be transparent about what your product can and cannot do today and your plans for future innovation and growth. In doing so, you will put the spotlight on the product and win investors and customers over with your honest, candid leadership regardless of your age. Number three, which is something I'll kind of delve into later on for personal experience, is to own your age. For example, demonstrate that you've identified new gaps or uncovered a new way to solve existing challenges because of your age. Your unique perspective and fresh take on the market is something that other more seasoned entrepreneurs typically can't offer. And while age provides unique challenges for any young entrepreneur, age stereotyping can be overcome in today's startup world. With the right engagement strategies, an authentic mindset, and most importantly, a winning product, even the youngest leaders can win over the toughest investors, customers, and partners for long-term success. Now, in regards to owning your age, I just want to share real quick that, so I joined BFM when I was 22. And
which was yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was just yesterday. But when I first joined, a lot of people who came into the office for an interview with me assumed that I was the intern and straight up were like, hey, like, can I speak to, you know, can you direct me to Christine? And then I would be like, that's me. I'll be interviewing you today. Mm-hmm. And they would be genuinely shocked. Or, you know, someone who has only corresponded with me via email or phone might not know or just assumed that I was in my mid-30s and were asking me like, hey, are you married? Do you have children? And I was like, definitely not to either of those things. But it was interesting to me that, you know, that was, it just never occurred to me that that would be something that would come up or that would be a surprise to people. And so, you know, leaning into owning my age has been really important for me here. And I think one of the things that I try to do is bring a different perspective or try to sort of stand up for slash stick up for like the millennial Gen Z area that I kind of represent, right? And trying to bring that perspective to, you know, what I talk about on air.
I can add a different take on that as well.
Yeah.
Growing up, I was always the youngest at school, in classes, because my birthday is late August, and that's kind of the rear end of a new year, if you know what I mean, right? So in the UK school year, at least, anyway. So I was always the youngest. And then I decided to take some time out before I went to university to kind of, you know, earn a bit of money and kind of see how the world works a little bit before I went to university. And when I got to university, I then was the oldest amongst most of my peers. So I became Uncle Rich, right? And so for me, that shift from being youngest to being eldest was very odd. And that's kind of stuck with me for a while since. I came into BFM and a lot of the people were a little bit younger than I was and whatever. So that mind shift, I see exactly where you're coming from the other end of the spectrum, where people come and say, oh, you're rich, right? But then there was a lot of people going, I expected you to be older. You know, same kind of thing, you know. So when I started getting a few little gray hairs in my beard, I felt as though that's when I could actually own my age or perceived age, as it were.
And this is very interesting because going back to when I first joined, not here, but like my previous company, so it is a corporate, without getting into details, age wasn't a thing at all because you just do a job that is given to you. So on one side, they didn't actually harness the abilities of like their younger demographic. So I was 22 as well. And a lot of my colleagues were also like 23, 24 within that bracket. They don't make use of that quote unquote that age. But at the same time, it isn't a factor. It's you just go in, you join the team, you do the job that they tell you to do, and that's about it. So it's so many different like perspectives, like how you can make use of that, but also how you can completely ignore the fact altogether. Like you could be the same age as someone who's in their 40s and 50s and be doing the exact same thing.
I mean, clearly.
Yeah.
It's happening right now, guys.
No, I mean, people would come to me at university asking me for advice, and I'd be like, I'm literally 2 years older than you. I don't know anything more than you. I'm still learning too. You know, it's also my first time at university. I can't give you advice. You know, I'm still learning, as it were. We had a message over on WhatsApp. Back to our time imaginary thing that we call time. Number ending 0016. What is time? Time disappeared when the second baby came out. Morning is when your kid kicks you in the rib before sunrise asking, got milk? And night is when the kids fall asleep.
Wow. Well,
your
child is a marketing genius.
Yes. Okay. We'll have a quick update from the numbers when we come back on the polls that we're running. And then we'll be moving into our third story of the day. What Silicon Valley can expect from the Biden administration? Over in the US, of course, you tune into Enterprise Biz Bytes. If you missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast a little bit later on. And we'll tell you how to do that later. Mr. Big up next with Green Tinted 60s Mind here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.